when we call upon the saints in prayers, if we pronounce their names from the heart, it already means that we bring them near our heart itself. Therefore, ask in their prayers and intercession undoubtedly for yourself. They will hear you and will speedily lay your prayers before the Lord in the twinkling of an eye, for he is omnipresent and omniscient. When the oblation you call in prayer upon the Lord Jesus Christ or upon his mother, pure mother, most pure mother and the saints, or when you commemorate the living or the departed, then the portion taken from the bread that has been offered represents and as if replaces by itself the Lord or his most pure mother or some particular saint or many saints conjoining. Also the living or the departed commemorated while the name through though of while the name though of represents and replaces the by itself the soul of the being invoked or commemorated. Thus, in a small form, on our lips and our hearts, the beings of the higher and lower worlds are reflected, and all this through faith by the Holy Ghost, who alone is being everywhere and fills everything. When praying, we firmly believe, one, that God alone is and fills everything, and that he is, therefore, at my right hand. Two, that I am his image. Three, that he is an abyss of mercy, the source of every mercy, and that he himself has authorized me to pray to him. The Lord fills all creation which before him is as a drop of the morning dew that falls down upon the earth, as a little gain of the balance, keeping it drawn to the smallest blade of grass and grain of dust in his right hand, and not being limited either by the greatness or smallness of things created, exist in infinity entirely, filling it as a vacuum, for he is the only being which exists, and therefore calls himself, I am that I am. That is, I am that which is. However small matter may be, but as long as it only exists, the Lord who fills everything and upholds everything must also exist. For how can it be possible that any matter should exist and not the Lord who has created everything? It is absurd. Without him, not a single grain of dust can have its being. If it is left to itself, if it is deprived of God's presence and omnipotence, without him was not anything made that was made. That our union with God in the future world will come to pass, and that it will be for us the source of light, peace, joy, and beatitudes, this we partly recognize by experience even in the present life. During prayer, when our soul is wholly turned towards God and is united to him, we feel happy, calm, easy, and joyful, like children resting on their mother's breast. Or I would rather say, we experience a sensation of inexpressible well-being. It is good for us to be here. Therefore, struggle unremittingly to obtain future everlasting bliss, the beginning of which you know by experience even in the present life. But bear in mind that these beginnings are only earthly, imperfect, which we see now only in part, as though a glass darkly. how will it be with us then, when we shall indeed be most truly united to God, when the images and shadows will pass away, and the kingdom of truth and vision will come? Oh, we must labor unceasingly all our life until death for future blessedness, for our future union with God. You see how bright the sun and the stars are. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun from the inner immaterial light of God. Whenever the angels appear upon the earth, they are almost always surrounded by light. Aspire to that light and enlightenment. Throw aside the works of darkness. We can raise our nature to communion with the divine nature, and God is the light uncreated, surpassing every light that has been created. Man, when I look upon you, upon your earthly feelings, upon your flesh, when I remember the day of your birth and the days that followed of your childhood and growth up till now, and when I afterwards transport my thoughts to the day of your death, and after that to eternity which is destined to you from the foundation of the world, then I do not know at what most to marvel, at your nothingness or at the omnipotence and goodness of the Creator who has mercifully given you life and will eventually close your corruptible and mortal body with immortality. My wonderment increases when I see that the Lord God, the Eternal King, gives you his own flesh and blood to partake of in the same manner as in the days of his flesh. He also himself took part of our flesh and blood in order to give you eternal life. The dead live. God is not a God of dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. The soul invisibly hovers round the body and the places where it like to dwell. If it dies in sin, then it cannot help to free itself from their bonds, and is in great need of prayers of the living, especially of those of the Church, the most holy bride of Christ. Therefore, let us pray earnestly for the dead. It is of great benefit to them, of more benefit than to the living. When God looks mercifully upon the earth-born creatures through the eyes of nature, through the eyes of bright, healthful weather, everyone feels bright and joyful. When there is a healthful breeze, there is wholesome air in all bodies and souls. But when a cold, damp, strong wind blows, then everyone feels oppressed in soul and body. Many earth-born creatures groan from maladies. Many give themselves up to despondency and melancholy. So powerful and irresistible is the influence of nature upon mankind. And it is remarkable that those who are less bound by carnal desire and sweetness, who are less given up to gluttony, who are more moderate in eating and drinking, to them nature is more kindly disposed and does not oppress them, at least not nearly so much as those who are slaves of their nature and their flesh. Oh, how clear it is that our life is in the Lord and not in sensual things. How clear it is that the Lord is in everything which worketh in all. In the air, he is our breath. In food, the satisfying of our hunger. In drink, the quenching of our thirst. In clothing, our raiment. In the dwelling, our protection, warmth and tranquility. In sleep, our rest. In pure, instructive, chaste, and edifying conversations, our speech, and mutual love, our love. Lord, Master, our Creator and Benefactor, grant that we may always remember thee at every moment of our life, that by thee we live and move and have our being, that we have life, breath, and everything from thee. But let us also remember that if in all that has been enumerated, we pervert God's laws, he becomes our grievous punishment. He will become our punishment even in the air, in food, in drink. He will no longer be the satisfying of our hunger and the quenching of our thirst, but either our aversion from them or a sickness, as happens when it is said that food does no good to some persons. In clothing or in the dwellings, our weakness and distress of mind, in sleep, not rest, but uneasiness and fear, in speech, constraint, in a wrongful love, the fiery torment, the sources of punishment usually appear in our sinful inclinations themselves. Wherewithal a man sinneth, by the same also shall he be punished. The truth, the saving properties of our holy faith are clearly revealed by the fact that not a single sacrament, not a single faithful prayer are left fruitless in us, but they bring and manifest their power from the heaven upon our souls and bodies, cleansing our sins and giving peace to our souls in accordance with the words of our Savior. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and deliver us from spiritual afflictions and bodily sicknesses. No, we never pray in vain to Lord or to the Most Holy Virgin or to the angels and saints, but we receive all that we ask them for, and that tends for our salvation. For our salvation, powers of healing and multifarious help constantly come to us from heaven. Our Lord is the Lord of manifold powers manifested upon us, and our God is the God of mercy and salvation. In like manner, the ever-Virgin Mother of the Incarnate God, the Word, imitating the love to mankind of her Son and God, prays for us and continually manifests her powers to believers, feeling the continue, O saving powers, revealed to us by the Mother of God, we call upon her. At no time will we unworthily ones be silent, God-bearing one, to tell of thy mighty acts, for hast thou not prayed for thee, interceded for us, who would have delivered us out of so many dangers, or show us thy power as thou hast ever done, and we will turn to her in every affliction, need, and misfortune. The same applies to the angels and saints. When we call upon them, they hear us, and by the grace of God afford us help. The carnal man does not understand the spiritual blessedness that proceed from prayer and virtue, and cannot comprehend, even in a small degree, what the blessedness in the next world will be. He does not know anything higher than earthly carnal happiness, and considers future blessings as imaginary visions. But the spiritual man knows by experience the blessedness of the virtuous soul, and foretastes future blessedness in his heart. The more a man leads the spiritual life, the more he becomes spiritualized. He begins to see God in everything. The manifestation of his power and might is everything. He sees himself always in every and everywhere abiding in God and depending from God even to the smallest matters. But the more a man leads the carnal mode of life, the more carnal he becomes. He does not see God in anything, not even in the most wonderful manifestations of his divine powers. He sees flesh and matter in everything, and nowhere now or at any time is God before his eyes. The Lord called himself as is the Good Shepherd. If you believe in his guidance, then you will understand by your heart that as a zealous shepherd, when feeding his sheep, does not allow the sheep to disperse, but gathers them together. So also the Lord pastures our souls, not allowing them to wander in falsehood and sin, but gathering them on the path of virtue, and not allowing the mental wolf to steal and scatter them. As the devil is incomplex in his being, and in an instant, by a single thought, can wholly attach himself to us and enter into our heart, therefore we must likewise repulse him in an instant by a single powerful word from our heart, containing all the force of truth, as a complete antidote against the falsehood of the enemy. This is what the Lord signified when he said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents," that is, as this spiritual serpent is rapid, pure, sure, falling upon us with infernal wisdom and planning when it is easier for him to attack and overthrow us, looking out which are our weakest signs and habits, and then for the greater part striking surely. But at the same time, the Lord said, "Be harmless as doves," that is, simple and guileless. Borrow from the serpent his wisdom only, but let your heart remain simple, pure, and incorrupt. Be meek and humble as I am. Do not give yourself up to wrath and irritability, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Keep yourself pure from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Our soul, as a spiritual, active being, cannot remain idle. It either does good or evil, one of the two. Either grapes grows in it, either wheat grows in it or tares. But as every good comes from God, and as the means of obtaining every good from God is prayer, those who pray fervently, sincerely, from the depths of their hearts, obtain from the Lord grace to do good, and before all the grace of faith, whilst those who do not pray naturally remain without these spiritual gifts, voluntarily depriving themselves of them by their own negligence and spiritual coldness. And as the wheat of good thoughts, inclinations, intentions, and works grow in the heart of those who labor and pray fervently to the Lord, so in the hearts of those who do not pray, the tares of every evil grow, smothering the small amount of good that has remained in them from the grace of baptism, chrism, and subsequent penitence and communion. Therefore, we must most carefully look after the field of our heart, lest the tares of evil, slothfulness, luxuriousness, self-indulgence, unbelief, avarice, envy, hatred, and others should grow within it. We must daily weed the field of our heart, at least at morning and evening prayers, and refresh it by solitary sights, as by healthful winds, and water it with abundant tears, as by early and late rain. Beside this, we must by every means implant in the field of our heart the seeds of virtues, hope in God, and love for God and our neighbor. Fertilize it by prayer, patience, good works, and not for a single hour remain in complete idleness and inactivity. For in times of idleness and inactivity, the enemy zealously sows his tares. While men sleep, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and they went his way. We must also remember that it is impossible to do good works without efforts. Since our voluntary falling into sin, the kingdom of God cannot be taken otherwise than by violence, and the violent take it by force. Why is it that only the narrow way and narrow gate lead to life? Who makes the way of the chosen narrow? The world oppresses the chosen. The devil oppresses them. The flesh oppresses them. It is these that make our way to kingdom for heaven narrow. The Lord has brought my soul and body from nonentity to existence. So almighty is he. How can I possibly not believe in his omnipotence? What can I consider impossible to him? I, who myself was brought from nonentity into existence, what has God higher and more precious in the world than me, man? Am I not before all the greatest miracle of his omnipotence? I am received by God himself into union with him. I, who am a little lower than the angels, I, who, being united to him through faith and purity of soul life, can myself work the miracles of God's omnipotence. For instance, I raised the dead like the Elias and the apostles, and if the spirit of angels and the souls of men are brought by him from nonentity into existence, then what animate or inanimate body could he not create? Further, if God himself has become human flesh and soul without ceasing to be God, if he has done that which would be impossible for us to do, then after this, what would be impossible to him? What is more infinite than this wonder? Thus has our God indeed shown and shows his omnipotence. If the bodiless angels can take upon themselves a body, not a visionary, but a real one, having received the capability of doing this from God, then with what ease can the Lord himself create a body for himself? It may even be said that the creative power is natural to every animate being by the gift of God, the Spirit, the Creator of everything. Shall not therefore the Lord himself, who has given us such laws of nature, with an instantaneous facility, as a single sign, transform at his will any substance into a body? Do not all bodies consist of formless, inanimate matter? What unbelieving person will, after this, doubt the possibility of the transformation, for instance, of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ during the divine liturgy? This is but an ordinary act of God's, of God of wonders. After the fact of his having created flesh for himself from the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, what can be firmer, more unchangeable, and mightier than the Word? By the Word, the world was created and exists, upholding all things by the Word of his power. And yet we sinners treat words so lightly, so negligently. For what do we show less respect than for the world, for the word? What is more changeable to us than the word? How accursed are we men? How inattentive we are to such precious things! We do not remember that by means of word proceeding from the believing and loving heart, we may perform life-giving miracles for our own souls and for the souls of others. For instance, in prayer at the divine service, in sermons, at the celebration of the sacrament. Christians, value every word, be attentive to every word, be firm in the word, trust in every word of God and of the saints as in the words of life. Remember that the word is the beginning of life. We must also have the deepest respect for the word, because in a single word dwells the omnipresence, one invisible Lord who fills everything. Therefore it is said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, For in one name, the Lord Himself, is contained the invisible being, the everlastingly worshipful unity. When the Lord strikes you with more affliction or sickness or misfortune, then He assures that He will also truly send you consolation, and will afterwards bestow upon you the grace of peace, strength, and joy corresponding to your previous suffering. For the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, but nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Looking upon the Savior's cross, contemplate love, crucify the bonnet for our salvation, and think for what blessedness He has saved us, and from what torments has He redeemed us. He has snatched us from the jaws of the beast, and has brought us to the Father. O love, O redemption, O terrors of everlasting torments, O indescribable, endless blessedness. In saying, Our Father, we should believe and remember that the Heavenly Father never forgets and never will forget us. But even what good earthly father forgets and does not care for his children? Yet will I not forget thee, says the Lord. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Take these words in your heart. Remember that the Heavenly Father continually surrounds you with love and care, and is not called your Father without reason. Father is not an empty name without meaning and power, but a name full of meaning and power. When you are saying your prayers, and especially if you have a rule of prayer according to the book, do not hurry from one word to another without feeling its truth, without laying it to your heart, but always strive to feel with your heart the truth of that which you say. Your heart will oppose this, sometimes by slothfulness and stony insensibility to that which you are saying, sometimes by doubt and unbelief, by a kind of inward fire and oppression, sometimes by distraction and deviation of the mind to earthly objects and cares, sometimes by the remembrance of the offenses of your neighbor, and by a feeling of revenge and hatred towards him, sometimes by the representation of worldly pleasure, or the representation of pleasure derived from reading novels and in general worldly books. Do not be self-loving. Conquer your heart and offer it to God as an acceptable sacrifice. My son, give me thine heart, and your prayer will unite you to God in all heavens, and you will be filled with the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit: righteousness, peace, joy, love, meekness, long-suffering, and healthy compunction. You want to finish your rule of prayer quickly in order to give rest to your weary body. Pray fervently, and you will sleep the most peaceful, quiet, and healthy sleep. Do not hurry then, nor say your prayers anyhow. By half an hour prayer, you will gain three whole hours of soundest sleep. Are you hurrying to get to the place of your service at your work? Get up early. Do not sleep so long, and pray fervently. You will thus obtain tranquility, energy, and success in your work for the whole day. It is in your heart impatient. Is your heart impatient to go to vain worldly matters? Master it, let its treasures be not earthly vanity, but God. teach your ears to attach itself through prayer to God and not to worldly vanity, so that you may not be covered with shame in the days of sickness and in the hour of death, like him who was rich in the worldly vanity and poor in faith, hope, and love. If you do not pray as I have said, then you will neither prosper in life, nor in faith, nor in spiritual understanding. Glory be to God.